All right. Once you did this report for Congress, let's say, mm-hmm. what do they do with it?
They canceled the program. they got a lot of publicity, and they basically, I think, wanted to cancel the program to begin with. And so
were they looking for a reason?
I think they were. And I think they were actually surprised that the skeptic that they hired to do it with me came out as positive as he did.
Who was that? Can you give his
Ray
name?
Ray Hyman.
Okay.
And professor of psychology at University of Oregon.
So he was a skeptic in the beginning?
Yeah, that's right. And he still is a skeptic. So he basically came out saying, yes, there is strong statistical evidence, but I still don't think it's psychic functioning, and I can't explain what it is, but somebody will be able to explain. I mean, he kind of hem-hawed. He didn't really know how to explain it.
So at this day, he's still alive, right?
Uh-huh.
He doesn't believe in remote viewing.
That's right.
Yet his statistics showed him that it worked.
That's right.
So he's going against his own rules.
Right. Yeah.
Why?
Well, I think that's actually pretty common in with skeptics. They really don't know what to say about this stuff. I think that something that I've discovered in working in this area is that scientists are actually much less scientific when it comes to this area than we might hope, that almost all of them base their conclusion on belief rather than on looking at the data.
All right, let's go through some of the questions that you went through in your research into the paranormal.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay, so some of the things we looked at SRI was whether or not a sender was necessary, because, of course, the typical model, the terminology even, had been telepathy up to that point, right? So people thought that maybe a signal was being sent from one person to another. The term remote viewing was coined, I think, to get away from that kind of a assuming that we know what's going on kind of model. So we looked at whether or not it mattered that someone was actually looking at the target when the person was trying to do the remote viewing. And the answer was no, it didn't seem to matter whether or not there was a sender. Another question we looked at was whether or not precognition seemed to work. And the answer was, can you guess?
I would say yes.
Yes, and I don't think that's because you're precognitive, right?
Thanks so much, Jessica.
Well, maybe you are. But the data then and since then has really strongly supported the idea that precognition works. Another thing we looked at was it possible for a remote viewer to find a missing person? And this, by the way, is interesting because of the criticism these days. Well, if this is real, you know, why can't we find these bad guys?
That's right. Where's Bin Laden?
Exactly. And what we discovered was it's very difficult to find a missing object or a person. It's much easier to describe what the person's seeing. So if you have somebody being held hostage, for example, a remote viewer would be much more likely to be able to describe their surroundings than to be able to show you on a map where to find them. And we think we understand some of the reasons for that. But we tried some computer simulations and so on to see if people could locate things, hidden objects, and they couldn't in general.
Do you publish this information? Because I think scientists need to know this.
Well, the report that I did for the government is on my website, so that's published. And I've published some other papers that are linked on my website.
How many scientists, though, Jessica, are really aware of this kind of evidence?
Very few.
Yeah.
Very few, yeah. Which really isn't that surprising, because most scientists don't read much outside of their own field. You know, there's just so much out there to read these days.
Most people believe in telepathy.
Well, that's true. They do. Scientists alike, by the way. In fact, it's been shown that there's a little bit of a correlation between educational level and belief in telepathy and things like that, that the more education, the more likely people are to believe.
Did you find yourself experimenting with remote viewing or telepathy or anything like that? When
personally?
You were doing this? Yeah.
No.
Why not?
Well, I did participate in one or two of the experiments, but I never was very good at it, it seemed. So I don't know, it was sort of, I guess, in order to remain objective, I didn't think it was a good idea for me to participate too much.
Did your work label you as such, or did your colleagues, what did they say about you?
Well, some of my colleagues have a hard time with what I'm doing. They think that that I have no business as a scientist looking into this area.
They think it's a waste of time?
They think it's a waste of time because, of course, they don't believe there's anything there. But by and large, I think I've received pretty good support for it. The administration at my university has been wonderful, at the University of California, Davis. They really, I think, believe in the idea of academic freedom and have supported my right to do this kind of work.
But by and large, science really doesn't support this study.
Science does not support this. There isn't a lot of funding in this area, which is really too bad because there are just so many questions that we need to answer doing research, and the funding isn't there to answer them or to ask them.
How much would it take to do a real thorough job?
I think it depends on what is really going on. So we have a lot of clues, and we have some ideas for where to look, but in science, you know, you don't know. Are you going to find the answer the first place you look, or is it going to take you 50 years to find the answer?
Did people try to find the future when they were studying remote viewing?
Oh, sure. To use precognition?
Yes.
Yeah, we did a lot of experiments looking at precognition and it seemed to work.
What are some of the things that kept coming up?
Well, the way that we did it, so again, this was the experimental work and not the operational work, as it was called. So we did experiments where we didn't actually choose the right answer until after the remote viewing had been finished. And yet, people seemed to be able to get what the answer was going to be.
They knew what they wanted.
That's right.
What would you recommend to people who would like to study remote viewing?
Well, there are lots of sources out there. There are plenty of books for people who want to know how to do it. I actually recommend Joe McMonagle's books. He has a number of books, and there's actually a link on my website to his website where you can see what his books are. One of the things that we learned, and I know some of your listeners aren't going to want to hear this, but one of the things we learned is that it's very difficult to train remote viewing. It seems to be an ability that you either have or you don't. We really tried, and I think if it could be trained, the government would probably still be doing it.
Well, that could be too. You know, do you think the Russians are still doing this, Jessica?
I actually don't know, but from what I've heard, that they're not doing it either.